Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1998, Todd Fisher.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a self-storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bingham, Lewis, and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.74 acres, more or less, land lying northwest of Old Mill Road, Road 265A, 300 feet northeast of Route 1, with a 911 address of 16542 Old Mill Road, Lewis, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 334, Map 1, Parcel 15.02 and 15.04. For the benefit of the record, the applicants did provide an exhibit booklet when they filed the application. They also filed a conditional use site plan, a boundary of topographic survey plan for Fisher Warehouse, and a boundary and topographic survey plan for Red Mill Storage. The exhibit booklet included references to an executive summary, site data, suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval for consideration, a cover letter, a copy of the application form, reduced copies of the reference survey and site plan, copies of the contract of sale for the properties, a copy of the service level evaluation request, a DLDOT support facilities report, a copy of the site evaluation, a location map, an existing land use map, an aerial photograph, a copy of the tax map of the area, a copy of the zoning of the area, a copy of the future land use map from the comprehensive land use plan of the area, a public water systems map for the area, a copy of the strategies for state policies and spending map of the area, a map of the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, a copy of the flood insurance rate map of the area, an illustrative site plan, references to compliance with the standards of the subdivision ordinance section 99-9C, references to criteria for consideration in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, a series of portfolio on multi-story self-storage systems, photographs to and from the site, and a report on subsurface exploration and geotechnical engineering recommendations, and comments from Bradley Cade on wetlands. We did receive comments from DLDOT provided in the form of a support facilities report dated February 6, 2014 and July 15, 2014, which referenced that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the current level of service A of Old Mill Road will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum on October 15, 2014, and they reference that there are two soil types on this site, that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, that it is not likely that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division also provided comments in the form of a memorandum on October 20th, 2014, and they referenced that the site is located in the north planning area of the West Rehoboth expansion, that sewer service is not available at this time, that an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the parcel is located within the sewer planning area of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, that the county does not have a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, that when the county does provide sewer service, it is required that on-site system be abandoned and a connection made to the central sewer system, and that a concept plan is not required at this time. Also advise the commission, and I will provide you in a second, copies of the original letters, sample form letters, and petitions in opposition to this application. The signed petition contains 50 signatures in opposition. A total of 55 form and individual letters were received in opposition referencing the size of the facility, the inappropriateness use proposed, the inconsistency with the homes in the community, the unsafe volume of traffic, traffic safety, and personal safety, the violation of the zoning requirements, the financial impact on the residents in the area by possible devaluation, the impact on quality of life, the loss of agricultural setting of Old Mill Road, additional traffic caused by this application on the already impacted intersection of Old Mill Road and Route 1, placing a business, commercial activity in a residential area, traffic accidents at the intersection, questioning the need for additional storage facilities. All the letters and petition are available for review in the application file. And what I did, I copied the form letters in their form, the original letters, and the petitions as submitted. So the commission will be provided with those forms. There's approximately 12 or 13 pages, rather than copies of every single form letter and every single anything that would duplicate. So for that, I provide copies for everybody. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman, unless you have questions. And I do have the larger scaled surveys, conditional use site plans, and boundary and topographic surveys for the two parcels, which are the same as what are in the booklet.
Then, is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. My name is Dave Kuklish. I'm a civil engineer with Bowler Engineering. With me tonight, I have Todd Fisher and Mike Long, owners and applicants for the project, Red Mill Storage, as well as Betty Tustin, our traffic consultant. She's with the traffic group. We are here tonight requesting conditional use approval for self-storage use on two parcels in an AR1 zone. As Mr. Lank referenced, there was a conditional use plan and supplemental zoning booklet submitted. It's got a decent amount of information contained within it. I was going to propose to hit the highlights of existing features and proposed conditions tonight, as well as entertain questions. I'm going to invite Betty up to speak to some traffic, potential traffic concerns, and then hand it over to Mr. Fisher and Mr. Long to kind of talk about some of the security features that are going to be incorporated into the plan.
Okay, sir. I assume that you are going to be testifying in the capacity of an expert this evening. You did mention you were a civil engineer. Could you give us a little more information? Are you a registered professional
engineer? I'm a professional engineer, Delaware number 14522.
Okay. And how many years have you been in the engineering business?
I've been practicing engineering for 15 plus years.
Excellent. That's all we need. Just need to create a record.
Sure. Subject site is comprised of parcels 15.02 and 15.04. Currently, there are no structures on site. It's covered with vegetation, scrub brush, and some trees. The total acreage is about 3.6 plus or minus acres, and that's following 15 feet of dedication along Old Mill Road, as required per DLDOT. The site's located approximately 300 feet northeast of the Route 1 and Old Mill Road intersection. And as we heard from Planning and Zoning early on, this site was also had received conditional use approval for a tennis recreational facility, commercial use. Adjacent uses, if you're looking at the plan left, north is about 2 o'clock plan view. But to the west is a single family residence adjacent to the site fronting on Old Mill Road. It's zoned commercial. To the top plan view, which is west and northwest, agricultural land, zoned AR1. And to the right, northeast, is a vacant wooded parcel. Commercial uses within the vicinity of the site include about a half a dozen or so. Tyndall's Furniture Store, located on the corner there, Route 1 and Old Mill. Surf and Crab Restaurant, Monarchy Car Care Center, Beach Marine, Master Grab Bar, and the Lighthouse Retail Facility. Old Mill Road is a two-lane, two-way, DLDOT owned and maintained local roadway. And when I say local, that's per DLDOT's functional classification based on the traffic and right-of-way that's in place there. The site is not located within a floodplain, nor does it contain any wetlands for our wetland investigation. From a proposed condition standpoint, 4 self-storage buildings are proposed, as you can see in plan view. The project will be phased as markets driving that. Starting from the left, single story, and then 3 three-story buildings as you work your way left to right. There's one full movement entrance located within approximately the center of the two parcels. And then, as you typically find within self-storage facilities, there's a central security gate that allows traffic to go in and out of the site. In addition to the gate at the entrance, there is a site along the perimeter of the site. The front will have a 6-foot faux wrought iron picket style fence, and then the side and rear is proposed with a 6-foot chain link fence, and that's for security purposes. As the site's within 600 feet of Route 1, we've respected the CHCOZ buffer requirements with landscaping, as well as building setbacks fronting Old Mill Road. It's certainly the intent of the plan not to disturb anything more than what we need to for infrastructure purposes, being the entrance, grading, the septic facility, which is located in the northeast corner of the site. But what does get disturbed is proposed to be replenished as required by the CHCOZ buffer planting requirements. The site's proposing well and private septic. We have completed a septic evaluation. I've had submitted that to DENREC and received their septic feasibility study approval. We've also completed stormwater infiltration tests in accordance with DENREC requirements. We know we have well-drained soils. We know groundwater is deep, so we're very confident that we can address stormwater requirements in the form of infiltration, which, again, is in accordance with DENREC's new regulations, where you're reducing not only rate but also volume by sending the water back into the ground. We're not proposing any pole-mounted site area lights. The only lights that are proposed on site are building-mounted, as required by the applicable building codes, and again, the lighting is for security purposes. As Mr. Lenk mentioned, DelDOT has reviewed the plan and the proposed traffic trips generated by the site, and they have determined, even at full build-out of all four buildings and that square footage, that a TIS is not required. The entrance, as well as any improvements within the right-of-way or frontage improvements on Old Mill Road, as required, will be designed, submitted, and approved in accordance with DelDOT regulations. I can say the same for stormwater management in regards to SCD and DENREC, the septic system in regard to DENREC, Office of State Fire Marshal, et cetera. Hours of operation are proposed to be from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And again, at full build-out, there will be an attendant on-site at all times, again, to help with some of the security of the facility. So again, top-level summary of existing and proposed features. I'm now going to invite Ms. Tustin up to just kind of talk a little bit further about some of the preliminary transportation issues that she's come across for the site.
Good evening. My name is Betty Tustin. I'm a project manager with the Traffic Group. I'm a professional civil engineer registered in Delaware. I manage our branch office in Berlin, Maryland. As Mr. Lenk said, and DelDOT has reviewed this application, and they have found that a traffic engineering study, impact study, is not warranted or recommended because of the minimal amount of traffic that will be generated by this facility. Storage facilities are usually very quiet facilities. Cemeteries generate very little more traffic than a storage facility, just to kind of put things into perspective. The traffic that is generated by this site will not go past the residential area. It's located just to the west of Route 1, so all the traffic will, I mean to the east, excuse me, so all the traffic will go to the west of Route 1 and will not pass by the residential area. The intersection of Route 1 with Old Mill Road is well designed. There's a nice median there of adequate width. There are left turn lanes into Old Mill Road. There are right turn lanes into Old Mill Road and out of Old Mill Road, and that intersection is actually channelized. So those are the comments I have regarding, I did want to comment about traffic safety. I obtained the crash reports for the three-year period beginning October 13th of 2011 to October 13th of 2014. And at the intersection of Old Mill Road and Route 1, there have been two crashes in that three-year time period, and none of them were fatalities. And those are my comments and assessment of the traffic there. It's going to be a low-volume traffic generator, and safety issues. It doesn't appear to be any safety concerns presently. And again, the traffic will not pass by the residential areas, but travel to the west to Route 1.
I'm still pondering the cemetery comparison.
Yes.
Is that a fact? I mean, is that
they generate more than a cemetery, but not much more.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm done. If any other questions?
Not yet. We'll wait till you conclude your presentation. And if that concludes your presentation for your application, we'll entertain questions.
Mr. Fisher may want to add something.
I'm Todd Fisher, 53 Bay Breeze Drive in Lewis, Delaware.
Mike Long, 1144 North Utah, Arlington, Virginia.
And Mike is a partner in this venture. I guess a little bit about the security. The property will be fenced all around. The office, as you can see, is right when you enter to the left. It's, basically 30 by 30. Have an apartment above. So there will be somebody there pretty much all the time. And, there's going to be a lot of security cameras. You got to have cameras in the buildings themselves. And there will be cameras on the lanes. So with somebody there, it should be a pretty secure site.
All right, gentlemen, if you will take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And since you're the master of ceremonies this evening, why don't you come on up here and then you can direct the traffic, okay? When the questions are asked, if it needs to be answered by somebody else in your team, you can point them out, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, okay, and we're going to start with Mr. Burton.
I know you kind of went through this and I kind of missed it, but the property that's right next to the proposed property, what is the zoning on that?
Which direction, right next?
I'm going to have it to the left, so it'd be west, going with a boat in the yard.
We have it listed as C1 or commercial, even though there's a residential house on it.
It's a residential house. That's
yes, sir.
That's what
it is. Residential use, commercial zone.
It is commercial zone.
That's our understanding.
Kendall's, I guess, is commercial zone as well.
Correct, on the corner.
You mentioned that the hours of operation would be 6 to 10. I'm just assuming that that's 7 days a week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And that there would be a person there all the time.
Yes, sir.
So it would be manned during those hours 7 days a week.
Yes, sir.
6 to 10. Would the people that are renting the place have an access key?
Yes, there'll be some sort of electronic entrance system, where they swipe a card or to get in and out of the facility.
So when it's closed, there doesn't matter what key you hold, you're not getting in.
That's correct.
Okay. You talked about the phases, and you mentioned that it would be the first one-story building first, and then as you build out, you would build into the other three?
Yes, sir.
So how tall are the other three? What is the height?
Just over 30 feet. 30.25 feet are the three-story buildings. I believe the height requirement is 42 feet, or the max height in AR1.
And so there would be units?
Correct. Indoor access, hallways, elevators.
So everything would be indoor on the three?
The bottom level will have exterior garage door type.
Okay.
And then up second and third levels will be accessed through the inside elevator up to level 2 and 3. Hallways to your interior garage door size type storage unit. Sizes are variable.
And when it's completely built out, how many units are there?
It's variable, and that's a good question. The total square footage is 157,500, but you can take out 20% of that for hallways and mechanical equipment. The unit sizes hasn't been pinned down, and the reason is they're variable. You can go from a 12 by 30, like a single family house garage type system, to a 5 by 10. So it's more market driven. So that ranges from 350 storage units to about 1,000 storage units. Would be the range there. Again, that's full built out within the 157,500 square feet.
Okay. This land was zoned as a, we looked at it as a tennis community, right?
Yes.
What was that proposed zoning?
I believe it was conditional use, still within AR1, is my understanding.
That was a conditional use.
It was a long time ago. And the buffer requirements that you mentioned in the 600-foot zoning, what will that look like around that site?
Well, the CHCOZ buffer is for the frontage of the site.
It's just the front?
Correct.
On that zoning. Is there planning on any buffering all the way around or just a fence?
No, just natural grass on the ends. That's going to mainly be stormwater management swales, buffer strips and such. Again, any trees that we can... No, if you guys can still hear me. This area is currently wooded. This is shown clear. This is the proposed septic area. The intent is to have this sheet flow into this green swale that'll come back here. This is the proposed stormwater management system in this corner. It's an infiltration facility. So any trees that we can keep, we will, but the intent is to have some sort of swale to convey it back to the BMP. These are proposed trees at the front that we could understand that we're going to need to disturb to put in the infrastructure grading and such. Well, it's proposed to go over here on the left-hand side of the entrance.
Okay. I have no further questions at this time.
Our answer, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. As I look at this illustration here, that appears to be different than what was in the book. That looks as though there's 8 buildings.
That's the lettering.
I think that's the lettering.
The lettering here. That's yeah. Okay. I got new glasses and they don't work very well, but anyhow.
Did you get a warranty with those new glasses?
No, but I'm about ready to send them back. I'm tired of this getting stiff neck, but. So the first building that you're planning to build is a single story?
Correct. Building A on the left-hand side, plan view.
Okay. And then as the demand goes, you may build 3 stories, or you're planning to build 3 stories?
We're planning to build 3 stories, but if the demand is not there, there may be a change. The big picture approach was to, again, if to get conditional approval were to happen, to engineer the site for total build-out, stormwater management, septic sizing, all that stuff, and then build Unit 1 or Building A, plan for the rest of the buildings, and as market demand comes online, approach those. And that would assume a 3-story building.
And how far back is this going to be set back from the road?
The closest building is 50.4 feet from the dedicated right-of-way.
Okay. And so you got the 15-foot Del Dot giveaway.
Dedication.
Or takeaway.
Takeaway.
However you want to look at it. And then you have how much further from that to the building?
50.4 feet from the dedicated right-of-way to building.
50, that. Okay. Right. And the proposed parking, how far would that be from the right-of-way?
There are 2 spaces located within the building restriction, but from the property line, it's 6.1 feet plus 15. So 21.1 feet.
Mr. Abbott, what's our front yard setback?
40 feet in this case.
Okay. So is your setback within that, or are the parking spots within that 40-foot setback?
The parking spaces are within the building setback of 40 feet. They're outside the 20-foot landscape buffer, which is 20 feet.
But still within the 40-foot setback?
Yes, sir.
So are you proposing landscaping of trees or bushes or what?
Yes.
What's being proposed?
Yes. There's a landscape legend on the bottom right-hand corner of the conditional use site plan. Those symbols are shown on both sides of the proposed full movement entrance. They consist of shade trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs as required by the CHCOZ buffer requirements. It's X number of plant units per linear foot. that would be planted in there based on ultimate disturbance. If we can disturb and take out less existing vegetation, we would like to leave that in there because it's existing.
And you may have said this in your presentation, I may have missed it, but what would you anticipate the amount of traffic that might occur when this is fully built out?
It's less than 400 trips per the trip generation manual, which is what DelDOT requires us to use.
Per day?
Per day. And Betty, by the same time, I don't know if you have additional information on that front, but that's the same manual that DelDOT uses to determine if a TIS is required.
Right.
So,
well, whether they require one or not, it's still important information. And I'm sure the neighbors here, judging by some of the voices, were taken aback by the number of
and
trips.
And that's based on square footage. And if you base it off of storage units, it gets down to, you know, between 150 and 200 trips a day. So there's different variables and mechanics within that same manual that generates trips, square footage, number of employees, number of units, et cetera.
And how might the storage units be used? Are we talking businesses? Are we talking private individuals? Or private. What would you be marketing towards?
Private use.
Okay. So if someone has a restaurant or needs storage for their business, they're not likely to be a candidate for your property.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any more questions at this point.
All right. Mr. Ross?
Just a couple. You said the facilities would be secure. Is that on an individual building basis, or will there be a gate across the entrance?
There is a gate at the entrance. You can come in and access the office. You can park out front and visit with the office attendant. But to get in to actually use any storage facilities, you have to enter through the security gate.
And that would be a card or a sweep card or key gate?
Correct, correct. And again, the entire perimeter is surrounded by a fence as well. So unless you're hopping the fence, you're not going to be on the property.
Okay. And I didn't see on the site plan, the preliminary site plan anyway, where that gate would be located. It might be on there. But
yeah, it says proposed security gate right between buildings B and C.
Gotcha.
In the middle there.
There are some security people that used to work in Washington, D.C. that might be interested in a job there because they're probably looking from the last couple of fence jumpers we've had. Just letting you know that they're out there.
Perspective.
Noted.
Yeah.
Speaking of fence jumping, how high a fence? You said it would be fenced in
six feet?
6 feet. And the land located the undeveloped wooded parcel, what's the zoning of that?
AR1.
Okay, and do you plan on having any retail sales?
No.
None? No boxes, no bolt cutters, locks? Just miscellaneous stuff associated with the storage.
Specific to the use of the property.
No yard sales or anything of that nature within the... Okay, that's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Lang? I'm sorry, one more, Mr. Burton? Go ahead.
I got two more. A
couple
actually.
More? Go ahead.
Yeah. Is there going to be any outside storage? If you build Unit A, what happens to the rest of the property during build-out of A?
We're proposing not to disturb any more than we need to ensure adequate drainage. So if building A is slightly lower than where building B would sit, we might have to grade building B back toward the stormwater B&P so that building A doesn't get flooded.
So in year one, you build A. You build building A.
Yes.
Are you planning on then having outside storage while you're waiting for building A to get built out and then you build building B? And
no. Then, no, we're not.
So there'd be no outside storage at all. How do you secure if it's the fences between B and C and you're building A first? How do you keep it secure?
It'll be worked into the phasing of the engineering docs. And there might be a temporary fence or temporary security system where the entrance goes up and maybe makes a left where building B is currently shown to allow just for entrance. That again, that
secure.
Meets fire marshal regs and all that stuff. Correct.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, where was I, Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
I want to go back to the traffic for a minute because I think it's important for the public to understand that. And maybe perhaps a traffic engineer could come back up and give us some perspective on the traffic generation, and perhaps you could compare it to something that we might be more familiar with. I mean, the average person really isn't familiar with the way self-storage facilities operate. They might be more familiar with the way a doctor's office operates, or mm-hmm. a small strip center, or a residential development. Can you give us some comparison? And also, I think it's important, you've got a rather wide range of numbers we're talking about. On square footage, you're saying it calculates to 400 trips a day, and then I think your testimony was that on number of units, it would be like 152, and that seems like a I guess I'm asking you to tell us which is it, or yes. or maybe narrow it down a bit and put right. the traffic into perspective.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let me clarify that a little bit. As you know, in the trip generation manual, there are different variables that can be used to project the number of trips that a facility will generate. If we assume that the entire 157,000 square feet is all storage, then we get the number that Mr. Kuklish brought up, the 394 trips per day. But also, well, let me just stay with that. But that's 394, it's almost 400, to make it simple. That's 200 in, 200 out.
So it's 200 vehicles you're suggesting then?
Now, that's on the outside. As engineers, we always look at the most conservative number because we want to make sure that we have the we design for the worst case scenario. But if you take out the empty space, like Mr. Kuklish mentioned, all that hallway space and that sort of thing, and use the trip generation manual, we're down to 260 vehicles per day. Again, 130 in, 100 out. Another variable that we can use, which is how I was comparing with the cemeteries, if you look at just strictly acres, you're down to 128 vehicles, so that's 64 in, 64 out. So there is a wide range. I'm gonna continue. As traffic engineers, that's during a 24-hour period. So when we talk about 24-hour volumes, it just seems enormous to people, you know, because like when on a major arterial, we're talking about tens of thousands of vehicles per day. But when you're out there on the critical periods, which is the peak hour period, the volumes are significantly less than what you would see in a 24-hour period. So just to do some comparisons, in a peak hour period, we're talking about 14 to 20 cars in, out, worst case scenario. And that compares to, let's say if you had 8 single houses on that property, you'd have 15 in, out. So we're talking about the same as 8 residential homes on that property, maybe one or a few more.
Okay. Are you aware of, I mean, the self-storage concept has been around for a long time now. Is there any actual data available on what trip generations are in the real world for these?
Well, these numbers that I'm giving you are based on studies that have been done by the Institute of Transportation Engineers. It's just when you break the data down by different variables, you come up with a little bit different results.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's what I was asking. Thank you very much. Okay. If you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two folks here this evening with an interest in your application.
They might be here for other business.
They could be. They could be indeed. Or they might just be here because there's nothing better on TV. Okay. All right, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1998, Todd Fisher? In favor. All right, then. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1998? All right. We'll start right up here in the front. Ma'am, if you would go ahead, give us your name. You may have the floor.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. It's been a delightful time. My name's Suzanne Hain, and I live at 32250 Sandpiper Drive in one of the Nassau Acres residents. And consider me more the facilitator than the leader, but we needed somebody to let you know what's going on. We got together with our neighbors and, as you know, got our message to you. And I think it'd be helpful to see if everybody would raise their hand if you're here in opposition.
I'll tell you what.
Can we do that?
We're going to do that, but we're going to do it when we're ready to do it.
All right, fine. Then that be said.
We won't stop till we do that. We'll
okay. Then that being said, we have six, in honor of, you know, time and everything, we have six speakers to talk to you.
That's
representing
fine.
The Alzheimer's Association.
Anyone here who is here is welcome to speak.
And before I introduce the first one, which is Mary Groom, I would just like to say, with regard to traffic, it's astounding to me that the only thing that was evaluated was the traffic on Old Mill, and whereas the most dangerous part of our drive every day is turning left off of Old Mill onto Route 1. It is a two-step process. You have to leap from zero across people coming down 55 miles an hour over to the median, and then you have to go from zero to 55 again, merging into people coming down, and it's not fun, and it'll be very interesting.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and Mary Groom.
Okay, very good. And your name is?
I'm Mary Groom.
Okay.
And I live at 3 Roberts Road in Nassau Woods. And the Old Mill Road community consists of 80 homes. And I'd like to give you a little background of how this community developed. The land of where this is on Old Mill Road and also the highway in front of it the land was purchased as a parcel by my parents in 1933. And at that time, through the years, my parents built a house which is next to the Tyndall's Furniture Store, which is right on the corner. And it's still there. Gradually, through the years, different parts of the land were sold. There was 180 acres they had at the time, and gradually it was sold. And it was farmland and woodland. The woodland is where we've developed a lot of the 80, the homes back of you know, that property.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really flabbergasted to hear all this, what they were saying. And I think they're not being accurate in really describing what the road is like. Like the businesses on the highway, they don't affect Old Mill Road at all. We're a private, you know, we're private people. We have a wonderful neighborhood, and it seems like these people are just taking advantage of us. I don't know why they want to come in and destroy our property. And I had other things planned, but I'm so upset by everything I heard, and I can't say much more. But I mean, I just think they're shafting us, to tell you the truth.
Okay, all right.
And I'll let the George or anyone else come up and talk.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Jim Wright. I live at 16474 Old Mill Road. Can I describe where I live on there?
Absolutely, sure. Please do.
I noticed they conveniently left my road off here, but the road is right here.
Yeah.
I'm only 250 feet from my backyard to where that proposal is. However, 5 years from now, this is zoned for residential. There's no way, if this gets built, that anybody's going to build houses in here. They're going to come back to you, some real estate agent, and say, we want these 3 acres zoned commercial. All these trees are going to come down, and I'm going to be looking at this, or whatever commercial property's here. 3 stories tall, with lighting here, I'm going to see that all the time. My parents and my grandparents have paid taxes on that property for 81 years. There's 80 people who paid taxes on their properties for years, thousands of dollars coming into the county. Why would we let this be built?
Mr. Fisher might live in Lewis, but I guarantee you he does not want to live 150 feet from a storage unit. And I don't either, and none of you guys would either. I guarantee it. I don't see the benefit of this property in any way, shape, or form for the greater good of this community. From a safety point, from a land value point, I've got property for sale right now that I can't sell because of a just north of that property is a community boat storage unit. People come by. I've had this property for sale for 3 years. I put $400,000 into this development, and we haven't sold one lot. Do you know why? Because there's a boat storage unit there. They were told they were supposed to put in their covenants trees. Trees were going to be put up. Mr. Lank's department cannot enforce any of this stuff. Anything they say they're going to do there, Mr. Lank knows they cannot enforce it. He doesn't have the staff. Sussex County is a huge county. He cannot enforce what they say they're going to do. That if it's built, that place is going to look like trash in 5 years, and the value of my property is going to go to nothing. Like I said, I can't sell property now. I've lowered it from 140 down to 80,000, still can't sell it. And the people say, well, I don't want to look at that boatyard. Me and my sister are going to have to invest to put trees up. There were supposed to be trees up. You weren't supposed to see the fence. Guess what? It's a garbage dump. And as far as what I've seen at other places, people store their boats in the wintertime at these places. They store RVs there. It's just not.
That would only happen if it were permitted by the conditional use.
And right.
They haven't asked for that, but I understand what you're saying.
Well, I appreciate it. I didn't want to get emotional about it, but you know, there's 879 other property owners here that, you know, will be affected by this, no doubt.
Say what's on your mind.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're next. Good evening.
Hello.
My wife's birthday, so she said I have to speak.
Really? Is it your birthday?
Hey, great.
Really? Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
wife.
Jill. Happy birthday to you.
See, I already messed it up. I should have told you.
Now, all I can figure is that you have one amazing debt to pay for this tonight.
My only comment to that is I've been paying this debt all my life, but I don't know why she's hung on to me.
First, stop while you're behind already.
Okay, then. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm Bill Landon, and our address is 32174 Landon Road. We actually have 5 acres of land, and if I may use the chart as well. We have frontage on Old Mill Road, and it's within 200 feet of this storage proposal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think the question was asked, but I'm going to ask you as well. How would you like to look at that? How would you like to build a home on 5 beautiful acres of land and look across and see this? We've owned our land since 1985. We have a small cottage on it now, but we, in all likelihood, will probably have to build a home on there because I have a brother that, like myself, got drafted during the Vietnam era, and he didn't come back whole, unfortunately, and he's rated now 100% disabled. Up until a few years ago, he was able to drive, but now he's taken quite a few pills, and so now we had to take his car away from him. So then we put him on a bike, and he went down Old Mill Road, and he started down Nassau Road, and someone was on their cell phone not paying attention, and they wiped him out. He was in the hospital for a few days, but he's okay now. And so I think of my brother. My father put him on Landon Road. It's an agricultural residential area, nice and quiet and peaceful for him. And now we continue to creep with C1 zoning back. Actually, the only commercial building you have there really right now is on the corner there. And we continue to creep with C1 zoning into the residential area. If what's happened in the last few years, most of what's happened on Old Mill Road and the roads off of Old Mill Road has been residential properties. In fact, they've been improved greatly, particularly on the left-hand side. It's mostly residential, but now we seem to be putting C1 in there, and now all of us are trapped, because now when we turned on from Highway 1 onto Old Mill Road, this is what we're going to see as our entrance into our housing development. I would like to speak about two other issues, if I may. I'm very, very concerned about the safety, and when I hear 400 vehicles a day, I don't know whether any of you experienced driving down Old Mill Road. It's a dead-end road. So the only way out is onto Highway 1. And now I have driven in Panama City, and I would compare it to that. It's a white-knuckle affair. You've got to eat your Wheaties. When you come out to Highway 1 and you're going southbound, that traffic coming off of that Nassau overpass is like the Dover International Speedway. And you have to judge it right. And as I get older, it's a little harder. But don't beat your chest once you make it to the Middle Island, because now you got all that traffic coming north to southbound, and you only have one traffic light checking all that traffic, which is Route 16, which is 4 or 5 miles away. So they're flying. And to put this type of commercial entity here, what do you think it's going to be like for us? Because I know when I cross over to the median right now, I don't go over there if there's another vehicle there, because I don't want to block them for all that traffic coming north to southbound. You know, if this gets put in here, we might need a cemetery, you know? Maybe that next property will be the one that we build a cemetery at. Let's see what else I wanted to say here. I did want to ask you a question regarding the lots here. This is Lot A and Lot B, as I understand it. And Lot A is C1, but Lot B is AR1, is that correct?
They have both lots of AR.
I was waiting for your, what you were.
I was double checking because I had them as AR.
I thought it was all AR.
Which one had the tennis? Was only one of them the tennis what? Facility? Or
yeah, it was one of the lots.
Well, it had a conditional use.
No, I know, yeah.
I was going to ask you or suggest to you that that actually isn't C1. There's no C1 there on either parcel. What had happened about 4 years ago, a tennis facility was approved, but it was a conditional use. And of course, as you know, conditional use is specific. It's just for that use. It can't, you know, you can't do anything else other than what the underlying zoning permits, the AR zone would permit. The only thing that could go there was the tennis, and this application is the same thing, but there's no C1 there now.
So if you approve this, you're approving two AR1 lots to become two C1 lots, or combine them.
No, we're granting a conditional use for these two lots for this specific use only, not for any other use. So someone who would want to come in and tear this down, or let's say it never got built and they came back and said, well, you know, we want to have a shopping center or something, they would have to go through this whole process again, because this is a very specific thing that they're asking for.
Okay.
So it will not be a C1. That's not what's being asked for.
Okay. So if it didn't get approved, would that land be AR1?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Because right. It's AR1 today.
And houses could be built there.
And they could, yes.
Okay. And the conditional use process allows the commission to recommend and the council to require certain conditions of approval, which could be from A to Z. It could be any number of conditions of approval. Not just an out-and-out permitted use on that site without those conditions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, who's next? Gentleman's coming up here, and then, sir, you'll be next, okay?
Good evening, Council. My name is Vince Brady. I live at 32116 Oak Drive in a development called The Oaks that's just off of Old Mill Road. Basically, I've heard some very interesting things here tonight. I don't necessarily agree with everything, but basically the engineers have done a fine job presenting the technical information and specifications for what they propose. However, what they have left out is that this is mostly a real-world situation. They are living in a perfect world. We have to live in a real world. And the real world is that this project is wrong for Old Mill Road on so many different levels. I'm not going to bore you with the details because I'm sure some of the other speakers will. But some of the primary concerns I have is that the Sussex County zoning made this residential zoning many decades ago. We have bought homes there. We planned our lives there. We planned our retirements there based on residential zoning. We simply don't want to see it become a residential with a conditional variance for this. Keep in mind that the buildings that they have proposed are in a range of 30,000 plus square feet. The average home in our communities, or these 70-some homes or homes about to be built, are averaging probably in a range of 1,500 to 3,000. So you put a 30,000 square foot building next to a, say, a 2,000 square foot residence, what does it look like? Not much. The traffic studies that they have quoted are a joke. Basically, the general public uses the downward slope of the northbound lanes of, off of the Nassau Bridge as an acceleration lane to get up to Route 1 speeds. Now, what you're planning to do is let the general public bring box trucks and everything in there, make left-hand turns onto that road, make right-hand turns onto that road. Basically, those big vehicles are not capable of accelerating up to that. You're going to create a horrendous injury zone for the general public coming off of Old Mill Road. I know that in a perfect world, everybody would obey the speed limits, but in the real world, they do not. People are going to use that as an acceleration lane. You're going to have box trucks and cars carrying utility trailers and everything going in there, in and out all times, especially during the summer rush hour traffic. It's going to be horrendous. Any accident that would arise from Old Mill Road would block entrance and egress from our homes. We would have simply no other alternative but to wait outside of our community until an accident is cleared up. I don't think that's what we bought our homes for. I don't think that's what the zoning is designed to do. Zoning is designed for our enjoyment of the residential area. Directly across from this proposed facility is a plot of land. It's many acres. It's probably going to be residential housing. But if this building is permitted to go in, there will be looking forward to put another entrance directly across the street from it to go into strip centers and everything else. Now, we know that this land is attractive to commercial developers because Lewis is a up-and-coming town. It's growing and everything else, but it was designed primarily as a seashore resort and a retirement haven. It's not designed primarily for business. That was never the intention of developing Lewis. Lewis is a commercial is a byproduct of the residential needs, not the other way around. So basically, I would like to urge the council at this time to enforce the residential zoning by denying the application for the variance. So I'd like to thank you for your time, and I'll go on and let you go on to the next speaker.
All right, sir, thank you. Okay.
Good evening. My name is David Williams, and I'm a resident at 32217 Sandpiper Drive in Nassau Acres. I wanted to just reinforce the point about what the intention of the zoning regulations as they appear in the Sussex County Code really are and why we would want to stray from them. Under the AR1 and the AR2, it lists the purposes in Chapter 115-19 as providing for uses as may be necessary or normally compatible with residential surroundings. The AR regulations seek to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses, which should be confined to those areas that are planned for efficient extension of those public services in the more dense urban areas. So therefore, it does not conform with what the proposal here is tonight. I'd also like to just emphasize what is listed as conditional uses as permitted under the AR regulations, and that's found in Chapter 115-22, and it says that the agricultural related opportunities that they should be agriculture related when they're in this AR district designations, and they should be visually and acoustically screened from the adjacent highways and properties in such a manner that a reasonable passerby is not attracted to or aware of the establishment. I ask you how a 30-foot-high building is going to be screened visually or acoustically or not become a point of attraction or awareness to somebody when there's only a 6-foot fence around it. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Next, who's next?
Okay, my name is Vicki Head. My husband would be here tonight, but he had a very important meeting. He'll be retiring in January. And I live on 5 Roberts Road next to Mary Groom. And I'm also very emotional the way she is. We built our house 8 years ago, and we love it here. And the potential for storage of hazardous waste, I don't care what these gentlemen say, is very, very dangerous, because I'm very familiar with storage units. I was involved in one. You know, the attraction of strangers to our quiet neighborhood as they drive through, satisfying their curiosity of wondering what's down our streets and the potential for increased crime as a result of strangers wandering around is also very dangerous. And right now, I don't even have to feel like I have to lock my doors, even though sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But now I'll have to. We need proof that the groundwater we drink will not be contaminated by chemicals or unsafe substances. We need information for drainage issues. And if they have trucks going in and out, you know, the oil could leak from the trucks and could destroy the asphalt and possibly contaminate the soil. And it's just such a beautiful place. And if these gentlemen lived where we live, they wouldn't be building a home, you know, to live there right by the storage unit. And as I said, you know, I've been involved in storage units before, and they were supposed to bring boxes in. Then all of a sudden, drums started coming in. Who knows what's in the drums? We don't know what's in the drums. And it's really just, I don't even know if this goes into effect. I don't know if I want to stay here anymore. And we planned on living the rest of our lives here. And I bet a lot of people will feel the same way, which is really sad considering Lewis is such a wonderful, wonderful town. And not only that, but the one accident that they claim just happened was one of our neighbors, and her car was totaled. You know, so getting on Route 1 is a disaster. I mean, it's dangerous now, and I can't imagine how it would be later on.
Okay. Could I get your last name? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I had H-E-A-D.
Thank you.
I live on 5 Roberts Road, right next door to Mary Brown.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who's next? Anyone?
You know, gentlemen, I'm George Dellinger. I live at 32250 Sandpiper Drive. The gang asked me to summarize things for you, and plus I'll be adding some things that you haven't been chatting about yet. And Mr. Lank, of course, we've become almost buddies over the last couple of weeks, and if it weren't for my iPad, which I've just about exhausted in trying to get copies of things, because there's times to be general, there's times to be vague, there's times to be deal with supposition, and then there's times to be factual. Thanks to you and your office, we can be factual. I hope to leave behind and hope you accept one more package for the package. This is our brief synopsis of 10 very important things for you to consider. The first thing to consider is zoning. And even before zoning, the very first person who was here tonight, didn't catch his name, but he hit the nail right on the head. If you recall, he said, the first house in the block sets the stage. Well, gentlemen, Think about the first house in your block being 42 feet high and 1,400 feet long. It doesn't belong in a residential neighborhood. The proponent of this actually had the brazenness to claim in the documentation that's in the file that we, the neighbors, would see this as an amenity for the neighborhood. We see it as a menace to the neighborhood. And quite frankly, if he thinks it's that much of an amenity, where he lives, he can put the same facility in the agriculture lot that's there by Route 9, borders his road on Beach Drive, and he can look at it 24 hours a day and enjoy it as an amenity. And I suggest that he do that, and then put houses in these two lots that he's purchased. One area where I have to disagree with Vince is on the technical side, and I've only put a few of the technical things in here. I was astounded, and I'm not an engineer. I was astounded at the ambiguity of this design.
Sir, you should be embarrassed.
Okay, I apologize.
You're delivering your comments to the commission. I want you to stay focused up here.
Thank you. I apologize. All right. The ambiguity of the drawings of four shells without any specificity. I'm providing for you some of what you've been asking for. We've included it here on section 8 or 9 because finally I found some documentation of a litigation down in Texas for the where the town wanted to have additional parking places to deal with the traffic. The nice thing about it is the applicant went and got some subject matter experts who knew what they were doing. Some of the organizations mentioned today and a couple others. From that, you can have the basis of statistics. And quite frankly, these numbers for number of cars match up. And in spite of the vagueness from the from one of the speakers earlier today, it all comes down to square footage. All the statistics for these things come down to square footage. And the ratios are here. I'm not going to bore you with them. I've summarized them on this one page, and we put in all 37 pages so you can look at all the substance behind it. Driving down the street, the first house sets the stage. We haven't included a lot of pictures in our book, but this one is one. As is on the left. Will be is on the right. Just doesn't fit in a residential neighborhood, in any residential neighborhood. Frankly, in a way, I'm a newcomer to Delaware. I've only been here 4 or 5 years. And I'm new to zoning discussions. This appears as a newcomer to be a manipulation of the conditional use zoning process to actually rezone a neighborhood and make it commercial. Conditional use. It's a warehouse. It is a warehouse, period. It's not a residential building. In the documentation, they cite Meineke, the Crab Shack, the Lighthouse, Tyndall's as comparable, and they're within sight. I live in Washington, D.C., or I used to. The Washington Monument was in sight, but I don't live in a 200-foot house. Those businesses are in commercial zones on Route 1. It's not consistent because these will be in an AR1 zone with conditional use. Next item. Safety risks we've talked about, the entrance to the facility we've talked about. We've talked a little bit about security and safety. They propose, from what I heard, some kind of a strip card or what have you to go through the door. As you'll find out, if you look through the statistics of what the underpinnings of the self-service storage facility business are, the average customer lasts 7 months. 8% of them abandon their stuff. What became of their card? Do they reprogram everybody's card? If they're all going in and out of that gate with the same card, think about it. One area, and again, Vince complimented them on their technical proficiency. It's not technically proficient. For example, one statistic that they completely missed is the parking needed inside the facility. They've allowed for 5 places. I've got both their statement for 5 places as the attachment here, it's on item 7, as well as the statistics that show for a building of this size, they're going to need 13. They're talking about 400 people coming and going. Somebody's going to be parked because most of them are inside. Is the overflow going to go into Old Mill Road? Or will they just let them sit out on Route 1? Or are they going to drive around the block until they finally can get in? It's completely been missed. Another thing that's been missed, it's item 10. And thank heavens for the association. If it wasn't for the ISS Association, I don't know if I've learned enough to understand what we were really being confronted with. The emptying out of abandoned units is really an issue. Because ISS has this one little area where they list the things that you have to deal with that you don't want to deal with. The things that get left behind. Old mattresses, scum, feces, prophylactics, garbage, literally garbage, feces. And there's no provision for a dumpster on this facility yet. If you go on down to Storage Solutions in Rehoboth, they have 3 dumpsters out back. They've addressed it. They know it's going to happen. They don't want to do it. They put on the rubber gloves. They deal with it. There's even no facility for it here. There's two other things, and then I'm done. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan for Existing Land Use. Yellow, single home dwellings. Right there, where their circle is. Single home dwellings. If you want to put a business in place, go to where businesses belong. Buy property on C1 land, as opposed to getting cheaper property on AR1 land and putting it to the folks that live there. It's unfair, it's inappropriate, it's probably illegal, certainly immoral. Another item that I hope you look at.
Well, it's not illegal, because that's why we have this process. It would be illegal if they just went out there and built it. So,
good point. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, go ahead.
This chart, I went to Google and said, geez, what kind of storage facilities do we have in Sussex County? Got quite a list. I didn't do a 100% survey because there's too many of them, but I did go and visit 8 of them. And we can do more. And this is part of the package, too. Gives you their name, and I did it from across the board because I know not everybody's from Lewis. So I put a lot of miles on the car. Some of these pictures are mine. Some are Google Earth. They're representative. An aerial view to show that the facility is right by an access to whatever the main road is, not some residential road. And then a street level view that shows you what it looks like. None of them look like houses. All of them look like commercial facilities. All of them, at least that I found, were on major roads. They weren't on community streets. To the newcomer, it looks like a creative way to get lower cost property and put it to higher cost property use. I believe that's inappropriate, and I hope you deny it. But before I leave, I'd like to read a letter. Okay. The letter is dated October 7th.
Except I will ask you, can you leave the copy here with our director so that he doesn't have to try to write every word while you're
reading?
He's
already got it in his file, sir. Right, it was dated 2004 to him.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Lank, on behalf of the residents of Old Mill Road in Nassau, we wish to thank the Commission for voting in our favor concerning CU-1556, application of Stanley and Linda Park to build an apartment house, an extensive apartment house on Old Mill Road.
Believe it or not, I was actually here for that. I'm the old man of the Commission.
Well, sir,
We want to extend this message of thanks to the commission.
You were here for that, too.
So if you didn't get your copy of it.
Go ahead. Read it into the record. Go ahead.
We were all pleased with the efficiency of the public meeting and the courtesy extended to us. Thank you. Mary is Will's spouse. They were here together at that point. He's still overlooking us, as is the rest of their family. They've owned this area for 70-some years. It's not intended to be a factory. It's not intended to be commercial. It's meant to be homes. We thank you for making a wonderful and appropriate decision 10 years ago, almost to the day. And we ask that you make another one today and deny this application.
All right, sir, we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Will you take this?
Yeah, if you would hand that up to, well, I'm sorry, hand it up to Mr. Lank then.
Yeah.
Okay, if you would hand that up to Mr. Lank. And all the way in the back, ma'am, you come on up. I'm sorry, this lady, you're next and then you're next. Okay, don't go away. You won't be long.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Maggie Bowden.
Okay.
Married to Alan Bowden, who is a handicap. And he liked to ride. I'm on the dead end of the road.
Okay.
And he liked to go out and ride around. I mean, he don't like being cooped up because he's already in a chair. And I try to keep him in because it's hard. Well, it would be harder if we have all this traffic because we're right on the dead end. And if there was traffic coming down, let's say, for an example, he gets on a DART bus. Okay, the DART bus come there every day from Monday to Friday. But if the DART bus is coming to pick him up, and there's six cars coming down the road, well, somebody's not going to get turned around because it's a dead end. It's just a little circle to turn around.
Okay.
So, and there's a shooting ranch in, back in the field. And when those guys come, sometimes they have, I guess they have a meeting or something back there. We're not allowed to go back there. I've never seen it. I just know it's back there. And I'm not going to say what I'm thinking right now. But when they have whatever they have back there, we got like 20 or 25 trucks coming out of that field. And when they come out of the field, they've got a gate there. Well, they open the gate and they all come out flying. One time, they had something back there, and the truck was coming out so fast. Well, he tore my neighbor's car up. She was at her mailbox. Hmm. So the field is, like, right here, and her mailbox was here. I live here.
Okay.
And this is the road. So that's my only concern is that, you know, the traffic. I don't know how that traffic is going to work. I just can't get it in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my concern because I do have a handicapped husband. All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're up.
Hello. I'm Christina Abramowitz, and I wasn't going to speak today, but I thought it would be important to reemphasize some of the concerns and to bring up my own.
Okay.
I live at 16403 Old Mill Road. And I recently moved there, and I also have an application for conditional use before the committee, and will be before you again for that soon. I grew up in the area, so I'm very familiar with Route 1 on that spot. My mother lives diagonally across the highway, so if the highway's there on the edge of that map, my mother lives in the Mill Pond Acres neighborhood, which would be approximately here. I'm very familiar with traffic going up and down Route 1. I have crossed it all my life since I was 16 and 15, still with my driver's permit. And getting into my mother's neighborhood is nothing like getting into my current new neighborhood. So not only do we have the Nassau Bridge, but we have the merge lane coming up. And I don't know if you gentlemen have a map before you currently. But both of these factors make it very tricky to get onto and out of that road because you not have...
We've all been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So those factors are a concern. We spoke about the egress, and of course, with all those cars coming out, some of them being U-Hauls, that would, of course, be a concern. The other concern I had was when they did the DLDOT study, she mentioned two crashes. I was only familiar with one. Is it possible to get more information on those two crashes?
I'm sure it is possible for you to get information. It isn't the applicant's responsibility to furnish that for you, but I'm sure that information is available from the state police.
Okay. I do know that one crash did affect the Tyndall's furniture store there. As was brought up previously, the other commercial buildings are on Route 1. They have different intersections for the most part, and they affect the traffic differently. So the type of traffic I discussed, the U-Hauls and all as well, and a lot of these cars are going to get lost. There's currently no sign on Old Mill Road. It was taken out during the crash, and there's no street sign there. So people have difficulty finding the road. They have difficulty being certain they're on the road. And they often go up and down the neighborhood trying to find themselves. And if they're in a U-Haul, that's going to be very difficult for them to turn around regardless of where they end up.
Well, I would imagine that the sign will be put back sometime in the not too distant future. Okay.
Talking about the stop sign or the Old Mill Road?
Above the stop sign.
Above it.
Yeah, okay. Where it should be on that post. There's no Old Mill Road sign. And it went missing right at the time of the accident. And so then my last concern is they said that the U-Hauls would not pass the residential area. As I mentioned, the potential for people getting lost and passing residential areas. And there are a few houses there, so that statement is not completely accurate. And residential people will be affected, not just those close by, but others as well. So, and that's the majority of my concerns. It does seem a very ambitious plan for a small site with all the other concerns and the dumpster concern that was brought up. And that's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And who's next? Yes, sir. Well, one from this side of the room. One trip to a customer. Come on now, you're up. You're up. You're up. Yeah, I was wondering if there was anybody sitting on that side of the room.
I'm Mark Knighton. I live at 4 Roberts Road. I have some of the same concerns that my neighbors have.
Okay.
But I just wanted to highlight a simple observation that I made this morning, which maybe is well known to the commission, but I think probably one of your functions is to reconcile the needs of our community with the needs of the greater residents of Lewis and Sussex County. And the observation that I made this morning is that is within a 2-mile resident, a 2-mile radius from the proposed site, there already are 4 self-storage units. And it eludes me as to why we need another one in that distance. So perhaps they can clarify, the proponents can clarify that for us.
Okay. Well, the economic considerations that you're referring to are really beyond the scope of what the Planning and Zoning Commission does. Although I understand what you're saying, and I think most of us do, the ordinance does not require them to pass an economic test. They don't have to prove that there's a need for what they're providing or anything. So I'm not going to be able to ask them to do that for you, but they may be willing to share that with you after the hearing.
So,
well, it's just one trip to a customer, but go ahead, since you're already up. Real quick, what is it?
I wasn't concerned about the economics. They're business people. They know about the economics. What I was concerned about is that the people in Lewis do have a legitimate need, perhaps, for storage. And all I'm saying is that I think that need has already been addressed.
Okay.
They may be able to do it better. Well, but I'm just saying that it's already being addressed.
Your comments duly noted. Duly noted. Okay, who's next? All the way in the back. Yes, sir.
Evening, my name's George Nason. I live at 32129 Oak Drive. Mm-hmm. And that's in close proximity to this proposal.
Okay.
There was talk about security lights. And I'm just thinking, I don't know what the proper phrase is or term, ambient light or light pollution that's going to be proposed. Well, I mean, I moved into this area on Oak Drive because I like the ambiance of it, the quietness, the cul-de-sacs. We don't get any through traffic. Occasionally some noise from Route 1. But with the security lighting and all, there's just going to be a lot of light thrown up. Excuse me. Okay. A lot of light thrown up. That I personally don't want to see, and I can't imagine my neighbors do. If I need light, I'll turn on a switch. You know what I mean? But that light will be there, and I can't do nothing about it. And neither can my neighbors. And so, and I agree with everything else that was voiced here from the people who live off of Old Mill Drive.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, anyone else? All the way in the back. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll lady, all the way in the back, ma'am. I saw you first. And then Ms. Mary, you'll be next. And then one more there in the back. And then we'll see what we got left. Okay? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm Carol Pizzillo. I live at 9 Christine Court. And like some of the others, I wasn't planning to speak. I agree with most of the points, all of the points that have been said. And as I listened to the presentation, go from, and seeing that for the first time, go from a single one-story to then the three stories, and then, well, the units will be variable depending upon the market. I just wonder what kind of needs assessment, I'm not worried about profit, what kind of needs assessment was done in the first place when, as we do have within the two-mile radius storage units, they don't know whether they're going to stop with the one single unit or perhaps build the other three. The fencing would, you know, just go around it as, so say nothing sells, or they put up the three and after a year they're not functioning. Then we're stuck with those structures. And as you said, they are, you know, given for that conditional use. You already see in the Cape Gazette, as somebody has said, abandoned storage lockers, auctions. These places don't become just quiet storage units. A lot goes on. The trash that is left, how do you get rid of stuff that's in units? Is this place even needed in the first place when the request is so loose as to be it may be one single unit or it may be that monstrosity? It doesn't seem well thought out, and it's not appropriate.
Part of the reason for that is that this is a this type of proceeding, with the conditional use, the real question that we're here to answer is this an appropriate place for this type of facility? So the details may not be as well. The applicant, it's no failure on the applicant's part to not have all the details. We don't really need all the details to make a decision. We're happy to receive them. You know, I'd rather have more than less, but there will be the unit mix, so to speak. You know, the number of size of units and so on. Really, not something that we would need to know in order to make a decision. And to answer your question or your statement about would they build all these buildings and then have them be empty? Typically, the way facilities like this evolve as they build the buildings one at a time, because I don't know too many banks that want to give them all that money to up front first. They want to experience some success first. And but it really doesn't speak to the issue of whether or not it's appropriate, and that's what we're here to figure out.
Okay, but we have seen the proposed potential.
Well, this is the max what they're asking for. That's what we need to be concerned with, is that may be what it is.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Okay.
Can I add just one bit of explanation on top? Because that was a good explanation to people that may not know the process. To take it one step further, if it were to be approved, it's a preliminary site plan, and that's when the details come in afterwards. On any conditional use that gets approved, the first level of approval is a preliminary site plan. And then after that, it goes to all the state agencies, all the county agencies, and that's when the detail comes in on the site plan, on stormwater management, fire, engineering, DelDOT, and everybody else. So there are details inherent in the process. It's just we're not there yet, and then they only come into play if it gets preliminary approval.
And with a conditional use, we can place conditions on that specific use, unlike a change of zone. A change of zone is a yes or no question. A conditional use could be approved, but could be approved with a height limitation, could be approved with a square footage limitation, could be approved with any number of limitations that the commission would might decide to put on it if we feel that this is appropriate at all for this type of site. So the conditional use process gives us a lot more flexibility and opportunity to address the concerns of folks than the change of zone does. But we'll proceed. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My name is Marie Mayer, and I live at 18864 Cool Spring Road. As a candidate for the House of Representatives, I've been walking in these communities, and there's one thing that I just want to say in summary that hasn't come forward, that hadn't planned on speaking tonight. And I think for the reason that you just expressed, the conditions you can put on an AR1 property, the only thing that I heard going door to door, registered voters, I didn't think I heard tonight yet, is that there was a question about the early hours from 6 to 8. If people were running commercial businesses, particularly construction, and they stored things in the facility, what kind of noise would that make with the heavy trucks coming in? And even if, I don't know how they would maneuver through there, but that was an issue that was raised. So 6 to 8 a.m. With commercial use of those facilities, and then later in the afternoon, say 7 or so, 7 to 8. That was one of the real concerns that I heard going door to door.
Okay. Thank you. And where was my, there we go. Next. Okay.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Ruth Ann Shiflett, and I live at 16447 Old Mill Road. I am the third house on the right from the potential site that we're here about.
Okay.
Practically everything has been mentioned to you gentlemen, and I just want to add, we have noise in our neighborhood. It's not just a quiet neighborhood. We have the FedEx trucks and the school buses and the garbage trucks and trash trucks and dogs and children. But this would be beyond normal for our neighborhood. And they can't expect the neighborhood not to show up and just be quiet. I mean, we have to let you folks know how much we love the neighborhood. I have 2 acres, my husband and I, and we fight every day to get into our property and off of our property, not only from what's been mentioned, but from New Road. New Road comes from Lewis, and there is a yield sign at the end of it, and it should be a stop sign. People do not yield. Most people do not yield. And these people with boats, they just push their way in, and we are in the middle of that. So if you guys, if they get what they want, they're going to have to fight. Their trucks and their customers are going to have to fight also, the way we do. I mean, it's not easy, but once we get back there, then we love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone that might have something a little different that they might want to tell us? Okay. All right. Now we will take a show of hands of those who are in opposition. Please raise your hand and hold them high, one hand only, okay, just one hand, doesn't matter which hand. Now you have to stop switching though, I mean, you know,
good try.
I think you're trying to get counted twice back there, and give our attorney time. He's an attorney, not 30. A mathematician. Did you have to take your shoes off? No. Okay, good. 30? Okay.
30.
Okay, all right then. All right, then. Does anybody on the commission have any questions? Okay, before we close the public hearing, first I want to thank you for your patience and for coming.
And just because I've been doing this for a while and I know a little bit about human nature, as soon as I say that the public hearing is closed, you're all going to want to get up. And for some reason, when we get up, we just have to start talking, okay? Believe it or not, we're not finished yet. We have a whole other list of things we need to do this evening, so this meeting's going to continue to roll. So when I say that the public hearing is closed, I want you unless you're going to stay for the rest of the evening, which you're welcome to stay, we'd love for you to stay, but if you are going to leave, please get up and quietly walk out, and once you get in the lobby, you can jabber to your heart's content, okay? All right, then, thank you for coming. Thanks for your patience, and we'll close the public hearing. We will invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.